This is Hidden Killers Week in Review.
A look back at the most prolific stories of the week.
Some secrets are kept in the basement, others in the morgue. Welcome to Hidden Killers with Tony Bruschi, featuring defense attorney and host of the podcast, Defense Diaries, Bob Mata.
Scott Peterson back in the headlines again, thanks to the LA Innocence Project taking up his case in two brand new documentaries, one on Peacock, one on Netflix, one with the very words of Scott Peterson coming to light, his first interview in more than 20 years, still saying, "I had nothing to do with the murder of my wife and child." The other documentary, which is on Netflix, coming much from the perspective of the family of Lacey Peterson and some of his relatives as well, coming out and saying, "We think he's innocent." Both very interesting to watch. I will definitely say that. But at the end of the day, it all comes down to a piece of duct tape that's being examined for DNA. Is that enough to warrant a new Scott Peterson trial? Here to discuss, Bob Mata, defense attorney, host of the podcast Defense Diaries. I watched the Netflix one the other day because that's the only one that's out as of the time of our recording. And it totally refreshed my mind on the whole damn case and all of the overwhelming, horrible evidence against this man, the boat anchors made in his garage that just happened to be identical to the ones that were weighing his dead wife and child down in the lake, her hair in the boat, it goes on and on and on. How is a piece of duct tape that may have some other DNA on it going to sway a jury? Let's say he does get a new trial.
I don't know. You know, I honestly don't know. I mean, it best case scenario, it creates reasonable doubt that there was a third party culprit. I mean, it depends on whose DNA it is, right? Yeah. If it turns out it's the two guys that were burglarizing the houses, then it becomes pretty powerful evidence in terms of establishing some kind of reasonable doubt within the minds of the jurors, because you know, I mean, then you're able to point the finger directly at somebody else who certainly could have had a motive to kill her if she is privy to what they're doing and they're looking at going to prison for an awfully long time. And if they throw her in the van and, you know, dispose of her and, I guess it depends on whose it is, right? I mean, if it's one of theirs, then it's problematic for the state because it certainly creates, you know, the possibility of reasonable doubt.
So what would the theory be then with all the, because it doesn't negate the other evidence that's there. I mean, it's all circumstantial, but they killed her and then they thought, hey, look, there's some homemade boat anchors over here. Let's take those with us when we throw her in the lake out of the house where she's living. I mean, it just doesn't make a lot of sense. I mean, again, truth can be stranger than fiction sometimes. But I guess there's some twisted way that this
my thing with the boat was always like he was on a very small boat, right? And
it was big enough for two people, certainly.
Right. No, but what I'm saying is that, you know, we're talking about an area where you're talking about people that have big boats who mm-hmm. are going to be looking down into that boat. Mm-hmm. Right. We know that there were witnesses that saw him out there that day, you know, so if you're the defense, you're going to have to get these people to get on the stand and testify. Well, yeah, I saw him out on that boat and, you know, I had a vantage point where I could see into that boat because it was substantially lower than mine. And I didn't see anybody in there aside from Scott Peterson. I certainly didn't see anything that would look like a dead body. Mm-hmm. You know, or a large blue, like, wasn't there the big blue container thing? Yeah. Like, I certainly didn't see a big blue container in there. You know, so you got to establish that. And in terms of like the anchor issue, I mean, like if you're the defense, you have to see how commonplace that is for people to use those types of anchors. Like I don't think that they're super rare. You know,
no, the fact that he had that in his boat, it's a homemade anchor. It's not one he went to the store and bought. And there's evidence in his garage of making more anchors, but there's only one that still exists in his home, in his boat. The other ones, they're identical to the ones that he made, and they happen to be the ones that weighed them down in the water.
I mean, that's going to be his biggest problem, yeah. Right? I mean, that is going to have to be something that the defense would have to absolutely focus on. Like mm-hmm. that would be, the key piece of evidence as far as the defense is concerned, as far as what the state has, mm-hmm. right? I mean, like that is the smoking gun evidence. And again, you're going to have to establish that in that community where you have a lot of people that are, you know, boating enthusiasts, that it's not uncommon for people to make homemade sure. anchors. You know what I'm saying? I'd say like, you're going to have to go about it that way because mm-hmm. there's no other explanation.
Yeah.
You know, it's circumstantial in the sense that, okay, well, he makes them and it appears to be identical to the ones that weighed, you know, Lacey down.
Yeah.
But it's like, all right, well, everyone in this area uses these anchors, mm-hmm. you know, that has like smaller boats, you know, that people like they're trying to save a couple $100 on him to, you know, buy an anchor. So, you know, they make these that it's commonplace for that to happen out here. I mean, they're going to have to establish that that's something that takes place out there, whether or not they can do it. I have no clue, but you're certainly going to have to try. I mean, that's the only thing that you're going to be like, but you're also going to be leaning into the fact if there's somebody else's DNA and they're able to identify whose DNA that is, and they're able to identify that this person doesn't have an alibi for, you know, the time that you know, this murder is thought to have taken place. Mm-hmm. I mean, you're leaning into that heavily.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, like, cause that's equally powerful evidence that somebody else was involved.
True. True. They are not examining.
Maybe
anything.
It turns out Tony into another Scott Peterson hired somebody in here. I'm giving you a couple
sure.
of anchors.
Yeah. I could see that. What I'm wondering, they're not examining anything to do with the van and the mattress that was in the van. They're looking at the duct tape. If they do find something on the duct tape, do you see the state saying, all right, let's look at the van too? I'm kind of surprised they're not looking at both, just considering what's going on right now.
I mean, I'm not, like, no. The state's confident in their conviction.
They don't want to keep going down, like, the road, yeah.
But, right,
yeah.
Like, you know, I mean, like, if it turns out that they test the DNA and they get a hit on it, and it's somebody that seems like, well, this person potentially could have had a reason to want mm-hmm. to kill her, then I think they're obligated to investigate further. You know what I'm saying? I mean,
sure.
I think it all depends on what profile, if any, they're able to create from that mm-hmm. from that duct tape, right?
Yeah.
I mean, like, I think that the public outcry would demand that they continue to investigate, that they see what evidence that they have from that van, if any, from that mattress, if there is her blood on it or mm-hmm. anything like that. You know, I mean, because then they pivot to the concept that, okay, well, fine. Scott didn't do the deed, but Scott paid these dudes off. Mm-hmm. And, you know, it was still Scott.
But if Scott paid somebody off, would he be just the biggest idiot to go boating in the same area where the guys he's paying off are dropping the body at the same time? I mean, that just is, why would you do that?
It would be completely idiotic.
Yeah.
But like, are you assuming that criminals are smart?
No, but Scott seems a bit crafty to a certain extent. But I don't know. I mean, obviously, you know, we're talking about many cases and there's plenty that are complete idiots. We witnessed that with the Tellis case.
I mean, we're saying he's crafty, but if he uses the same anchors that ultimately
true.
Were found to have anchored the, like, how crafty
not
is
that
he
crafty.
Right?
Yeah.
Right.
Maybe we
like,
give him too much credit.
Go that far out. Right.
Yeah.
Like, I mean, it wasn't like he went way, way out there. Mm-hmm. He's like, all right, you know, like they're going to get consumed by sea life or something, whatever's going on in his warped mind at that point. Like, yeah, it's interesting. It's, you know, I mean, it's one of those things where you want justice for Lacey. We want to feel secure in convictions. Yeah. And, you know, if there exists evidence that it's kind of like the same thing with the West Memphis Three, you know, like my theory on that is like, yeah, these guys are all out. Yeah. They don't really have like the standing to come back in court and ask for the DNA to be tested. But like, don't we want to know, don't we want to get to the truth? If in fact they aren't the individuals who committed those crimes, don't we want to try to get the individuals who did?
You think?
Like if I'm the victim's families, I certainly want that.
Sure.
If I'm Lacey's family, if there's even an inkling of doubt in my mind, I want to know.
Yeah.
Like, I want to feel secure in convictions. We all want to feel secure in convictions. And as because obviously at the time that that case was taking place, we did not have the technology that we had.
Sure. Yeah.
You know what I mean? So it's like, if there's things that come about that, that can put into question convictions, I think it's owed to the victims and their families that, that it be looked at in order to make it in stone. Like, all right. Yeah. We tested it.
Yep.
Like it's not a thing. You know, there you go. Feel very secure that we got the right guy in there. Yeah. And then Scott Peterson goes away permanently. Mm-hmm. Like you're not going to be hearing from him again.
Yeah.
Like if you don't, then there's always going to be that nagging question. So, and again, I look at everything through the eyes of a defense attorney, mm-hmm. but you know, to me, in terms of the search for the truth, and sometimes truth and justice are two ships that just pass in the night. You know, and because you have prosecutors that are out there and their mandate is to get convictions. Mm-hmm. Like the concept of justice is what they preach all the time, but their job is to get convictions. Mm-hmm. That's how they get raises. That's how they get promotions, by getting convictions, you know, and while the hope is that they're convicting the right people, the fact of the matter is they made mistakes. There's just plenty of people that have been fully exonerated out there. Thousands of people that have been exonerated for horrible crimes that they did not commit, that, you know, it exists in the world as the technology and the science has improved massively over the decades, that if there exists evidence that could possibly shed light, that we have an obligation to look at it.
All right, true crime addicts, let's cut the crap. You're knee-deep in the gory details of your favorite podcast when suddenly a commercial hits like a bad meal. Seriously? You deserve better. Upgrade to True Crime Today Premium Plus on Apple Podcasts, where you can binge without those annoying ads. Plus, get extended interviews that go deeper into the darkness and early access to episodes so you can be the first to know. It's like trading up from fast food to fine dining, but with more blood. So, go ahead, search for True Crime Today Premium Plus on Apple Podcasts, subscribe, and feast on the good stuff.